Life is a quest for logic and reason. It is a quest to find balance between science and faith. Life is a quest for knowledge and understanding. But most importantly, it's a quest for personal discovery. Whatever your quest, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. Welcome to Quest. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the Quest podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad we could make this work. We've rescheduled a couple of times, but that's how Januaries go, you know?
Been super busy.
Oh, I know, right? But that's a good way to start the year.
It's the right kind of busy.
That's right. I think 2024 is going to be a great year for everyone. I think numerologically and all kinds of different ways, I think 23 was crappy for a lot of people. And I know I'm enthusiastic about a new year, but maybe that's just every new year, right? Maybe everyone thinks that in January.
Maybe, but I think this year feels different. I think everybody's just done with 2023. Like, it was a hard year for a lot of people, financially, emotionally, mentally. I think it was, we're just ready for something new. New year, new energy.
For sure. You're exactly right with the shift. You can kind of feel the shift, you know?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, you do a lot of really cool stuff. You have the Mind Shift Makeover, your master mindset coach for men, you're a relationship coach, you're a corporate coach, you're a personal development coach for wealthy men. You do a lot of really interesting things, and I want to dig into all this today. So I want to start by just tell the listeners a little about your background and how you got started with this type of work.
Absolutely. Thank you. I kind of stumbled upon this 6-7 years ago. What happened, I moved to Utah 20 years ago, came here for school, and I got a degree in social work, and the plan was that I was going to be a counselor in the school system. About that time, I was getting married, and I call it my quarter life crisis, because I realized I didn't want to do that anymore. So I enrolled in real estate school while I was still going to university, and got my real estate license with some pressure from some people, just only seeing dollar signs. So then I didn't do anything with my social work degree, and I got married. I had 3 more children, basically sold real estate part-time. And it wasn't until going through my own divorce that I had a rebirth of, who is Rebecca? Who does she want to be? How can she make more of an impact? Because I wanted to be really good at real estate, but I wasn't. It wasn't as fulfilling as I wanted it to be. So I knew that there needed to be something else. And funny enough, I was actually hosting an open house, and I stumbled across a video about becoming a coach. So I invested $5,000 right then and there. And basically, it got me on the path. It made sense to me. It resonated with me, but it wasn't what I was necessarily looking for. It was basically a bunch of paperwork. Here you go. You're on your own. It wasn't personalized. It wasn't intimate. It didn't really give me any guidance for myself. So I started my coaching business in 2018, and I started coaching women with fitness because I'm very passionate about taking care of my health and my body. But I was very much focused on a mindset component. One, my background, my own life experience, my love for all things psychology, and just understanding yourself. So I started really focusing more on mindset with the women. And then from there, I got my first male client. We did life coaching, and then it just kind of snowballed, and I had more and more men show up, and we did personal development, life coaching. And then I focused a lot on men, and then I kind of brought it back full center last year working with women, and now we're back to just men, and we're working a lot on relationships, and that's really the relationship that people have with themselves, because that dictates all the other relationships that you will have.
For sure.
So that's where we're at today. I do one-on-one personalized coaching, but I'm launching a membership in a few weeks, starting in February, where people can have access to me and get coaching from me at a fraction of the cost, because let's face it, not everybody has thousands of dollars to invest in themselves.
Right. I want to dig into your services a little bit more, because I think a lot of times, I think sometimes the consumer is scared off by the idea of personal coaching. And I just want, maybe you can explain any of your process and how it works. You mentioned one-on-one, so you're doing one-on-ones for sure. What are the time commitments for things like this? Like, what can people expect? And are these Zoom types of personal coaching sessions? Do they need to be in Utah to do this? Or, and kind of walk me through it. Are you with people an hour a day? Is it an hour a week? How long are the commitments for things like this?
Yeah, so I have a coaching program. It's a 12-week program that I walk people through. The commitment is 1 hour a week that you're going to meet with me individually online over Zoom. That's mostly in part because most of my clients are out of state.
Sure.
I did have them come to this office, but I'm not doing that anymore. So it's all online. It's about 1 hour a week that they need to spend that time with me working on themselves. And then with that, I also have a follow-up homework. I call it thought homework. So after each session, I give them a recap of what we discussed and then the roadmap as far as like the next steps of what we need to do to build that roadmap out, to have that accountability. I offer unlimited support that they can reach me anytime if they need me. And it's really not that much of a commitment. And I will say most of my people say the hour goes by so fast, they wish they had more time and it's just never enough. Right. So that's kind of what I walk them through. I'm very particular with whom I work with because there are some things that are out of my wheelhouse. And if I'm not comfortable with that, I will just tell them it's not a good fit. So I do a screening of everyone, and that usually entails hopping on a discovery call with a, 20, 30 minute call to basically do a mini interrogation to get to know them, because there are some people that just aren't coachable, and there are some people that they are afraid. You're right. Like it seems daunting, and it's really, I know if someone's ready, if they're able to do the simple steps that I tell them to do after our call. And if not, that's okay. But it's not anyone that I want to work with, because I need them to be coachable. I need them to have an open mind, because basically what we're doing is we're rewiring their thought process. It's very intimate, very personalized.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people, I think, go into these things thinking it'll be a good idea and realize very quickly how hard it is to rewire the brain in many regards. So some people are not coachable, because you get the older you get, the more you get set in your ways too. That's also another thing. You're sort of indoctrinated into a system of how you've lived your life for so long. And this kind of cyclical behavior, whatever people are involved in, sometimes it's really hard to get out of those cycles.
Yeah. And they don't even have the awareness sometimes. And I happen to have a really good gift of being able to see that in people. I'm really good at tapping into their subconscious thoughts. I don't know why I can do it, but I'm highly intuitive. And so a lot of the things that we work on are stuff that they're not even conscious of. Right. So it really is subconscious, and it's bringing that to the surface, but creating a safe space for them to open up, talk about these things that they haven't really been taught to talk about because of societal pressures or just the programming that they've received their whole entire life.
Yeah. Well, you really started your business at an interesting time, because you came in just before COVID, and then you probably suffered through COVID like a lot of people did. But also we found more people were in need of help during that time. So I'm curious, now that we're on the other side of lockdown and all of that, what's the most common thing that you see people struggle with today?
I would say the majority of my clients struggle with guilt and shame. They carry a lot of that around. Mm-hmm. And also being able to communicate within their relationships, or finding quality partners that, really finding someone that loves them. And that's really the core of it, Todd, is that teaching them that in order for you to have what you're seeking, you have to become the thing. Like, you don't get it because you want it. You have to be what you desire. And so that means you need to love yourself in the right way. And most men I have found do not love themselves enough.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know how to love themselves. They don't know what that looks like, What is good self-care? How do I take care of myself? How do I meet my emotional and mental needs? And most men are not taught that because of the stigma. That's
also right? A lot of mother issues.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with another gentleman just about that today. And a lot of these men have mother wounds. And that's mm-hmm. something that I feel like needs to be addressed too, because a lot of these, you know, not all of them, but a lot of people, their only figure in their life was their mom, their dominant yeah. figure. And
the mom who showered them with love, but didn't teach them how to love themselves. You know, a lot absolutely. Of it's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned communication, because what I really wanted to get into with you today is a conversation about communication. And I want to start with just something kind of simple, just so you can tell the audience, this is kind of, why is the one-on-one coaching important versus, you know, group learning or group coaching, aside from maybe the ability to be able to share personal information with just one person? What's the additional benefit to one-on-one coaching?
I would have to say is that you get me. You get my full undivided presence. Like, I'm there doing nothing but shining a light on you and showing you what I see in you, but so you can see it in yourself. And sometimes with group coaching, you don't get that individualized time. And yes, you could have moments of it, but with the individual time, I think it's really about them trusting me and they feel comfortable enough to open up and share, because we talk about anything and everything, and there's no judgment from me. Like, we'll talk about anything you want.
Yeah.
And I usually let the energy, my intuition kind of guide us how the conversation is going to flow. A lot of it's very conversational as well.
Let's talk about the importance of communication in romantic relationships. You want to maybe give some broad strokes on why that's important and maybe why people neglect that.
Yeah, it's the most important thing, I would say, is to have good communication and being able to communicate your own needs, wants, and desires. And a lot of times people, out of fear, don't speak up, right? They're not able to say what they want to say, and they're very passive or submissive, and they don't really know how or have the vocabulary how to communicate. And a lot of times, if they've been married or in a relationship for a long time, they have created this wedge that's so big that it's really even hard to get back to that middle ground and that meeting, because in their mind, they have this belief that what's the point of communicating? Nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Why it's so important to communicate is because when you are able to express yourself fully and authentically and genuinely, you allow the opportunity for the other person to respond, right? And depending on how they respond or how they don't respond will tell you everything. It's not necessarily the words that they use or say, but it's we're looking at those subtleties, the in-betweens, the cracks, right? Of how is this person receiving what I'm saying? Do they hear me? Or are they just talking to talk, right? It really comes down to listening, communicating, and opening up, and not being afraid to express yourself, because you're really just self-sabotaging your own well-being when you don't speak up.
Right. Do you feel that in those types of situations that both people begin to not communicate at the same time, or one person may be kind of drifting away from the relationship over another?
I think a lot of times one person is checked out. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you also feel kind of a parallel type of question is, do you feel that communication ends first and just the communication around the relationship, or maybe like communication within intimacy ends first? Do you think there's an order to these things, or does it matter?
Well, I think we have to realize that men and women's brains operate differently.
Sure.
And in order to, like, a lot of the struggles that, you know, I have coached on is having that intimacy and the connection with your spouse or your partner, right? And that it's so far gone, but the way that maybe a man wants to communicate to his lady, she's probably not going to be responsive to that, because sure. women respond differently, right? Their brains are just hardwired differently. And I think it's It's really just being able to say what you need to say, mean what you say, right? And don't just talk to talk. There's so many words are lost in translation, right? Just because people just talk to talk.
Right.
Just like, they're like squirrels, just chattering, birds chirping at one another.
Right, right.
So it starts in the beginning, right? You have to start from the beginning of a relationship.
For sure. What about communication in family relationships? How obviously this is a little different than in a romantic relationship where there may be a family. What advice do you give to people in beginning that? Maybe communication with your kids, communication with your wife, when there is a big extended family like that?
I honestly, personally, I try to keep an open flow of conversation. I want my children to come to me with anything and everything and to know that they can come to me, that it's safe, I won't judge them, and to really just be a listening ear, because I think especially as children get older and they leave the house, your relationship changes. If you don't have that connection with them, of having them be able to open up to you and talk to you, then I feel like, what kind of relationship do you have? As far as with like extended family, to me, it's, you have to be who you're going to be without being an a-hole, right? Like, right. And it, so many people have such fear around expressing themselves or people pleasing. And it really, Todd, comes back to knowing yourself and who you are and why you do what you do. So a lot of the coaching is intentional, like become an intentional person and your life will change. Be intentional with your words, with how you walk, how you carry yourself, what you wear, like just be intentional.
I think a lot of problems with communication really come down to fear. You know, a child doesn't want to tell his mother something because of, you know, anger or punishment that may come from it. So they just won't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Or in a romantic relationship, the idea of communication may sour people if they think they're going to get mad at what they hear. So, you know, on one level, having some system of control to not lash out if you hear something that's unpleasant. What advice do you give to people like that? You know, how do you tell the mother, don't get mad at your kid because the communication between you and your child's better? And the same thing in a romantic relationship.
It comes back to checking yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to know what wounds that you have that's going to trigger you to have a reaction. Because a lot of, if you think about communication, a lot of it's reactionary, right? We're not speaking to communicate. We're reacting to what somebody says or does. And we don't ever want to be reactionary. It sure. comes down to being purposeful, right? But so the only way that you can know that is to know yourself. And so that's why the coaching is so important, is you need to know who you are. You need to know what's going to trigger you. You're going to need to know what bothers you, what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And just, it's really, it sounds so simple and it really is simple, but it's really about putting yourself first. And it's, that's not selfish. It's about knowing yourself so you know how to handle yourself when you do have these situations come up.
Right.
Because people, there's always going to be roadblocks. There's always going to be hurdles and struggles. It's like, depending on how you respond to that tells me everything about you. Right.
Sure.
So it's really knowing yourself. I know myself so well that, like, I always say, plant your flag in the ground. I know how I will react in any situation. It will be the same across the board.
Yeah.
I don't change or deviate. It's the same. This is who I am. Right. And I'll go with this, comes back to self-acceptance. Okay. It really comes down to accepting yourself, being okay with who you are, the choices you've made, maybe the mistakes that you've made, and making peace with it, but really having that total self-acceptance. That is the goal. Total, like, self-actualization. That's the goal, right?
Right.
You know this about yourself.
Right. That's all great advice. What about, you know, we've talked a little bit about romantic relationships and family relationships, but what about the person who has no one? Let's talk for a minute about the importance of that person who lives alone or has no family or has no girlfriend, which we saw a lot during COVID. A lot of people were very, very alone. isolated and alone. That's why there were no animals left in the animal shelters, because everyone at least got a dog to have some level of companionship, you know. But what about that? Tell the listeners why it's important for a person who's alone to find some way to communicate.
One, I think you have to be okay with having this alone time, right? And not saying that you're a lonely person, but having bouts of loneliness, right? And so if you are alone and you don't have anyone, like, how do you expect to go out and have a relationship with anyone else? Like, if you can't be comfortable by yourself and be okay alone, how are you going to be okay in a relationship when you do face a hardship, right? Communication, being okay with who you are, accepting yourself, loving yourself, is like, I always say, like, if you love who you are and you have accepted who you are, then you shouldn't, to me personally, like, you shouldn't have these bouts of loneliness. I think you'll experience times of loneliness, but I don't think, like, for me personally, I can always figure out something to do, right? Mm-hmm. Always, like, because I'm my own friend. And I guess that's what we really get to, is I always tell people, you need to love the person staring back at you in the mirror. And it starts with that, number one, because that's who's going to be with you until you die, is yourself. Sure. And if you don't like yourself and you don't have the skills or the ability to communicate, then you will be alone the rest of your life, if you so choose, yeah. Right?
I think brains need other brains. You know, for me, I feel the person that likes to live in isolation, that's a very unhealthy impulse for people. But you know, the era of the internet has made it much easier to stay in your basement, because you can now play video games with your friends across the country. You can socialize with people in social media, which leads me to my next question is, do you feel the social media has hurt people's ability to communicate?
Oh, most definitely. It's a false sense of connection. As humans, as individuals, we need human connection. We are meant to be amongst other people. And if we have these bouts of isolation and being alone, we're getting this false sense of connection through our social media, which is really just a dopamine hit. It's not true connection. Maybe you can have a conversation with someone and it fulfills you for a moment, but it's fleeting and it's temporary, right? To be able to sit and have a conversation in person, or to actually connect with somebody on a real level, that's going to build up your serotonin. And serotonin is what we want to build more of, because that's long lasting. I always call it pleasure seeking, or, you know, pleasure and happiness. And pleasure is dopamine. That's that fast feeling, right? Sure. And happiness is the long lasting. That's the serotonin. So if you want to be happy, we need to figure out things that are going to make you happy over the long period.
Right. For sure. Yeah. Let's go back in time a little bit. Tell me about young Rebecca. Where did you grow up? What was your life like?
Oh, geez. Okay. So I was born in the Midwest. I was born in Des Moines, Iowa. Family lived there. My family's from Iowa and Minnesota. And we moved to Wyoming when I was little. I went to school there. And then my dad moved away when I was 7. And so he lived in all these different states. So every year I was able to go and live with him in all these different states. So I really had a broader perspective of than just Iowa and Wyoming. And I hated Wyoming, everything about it. Like, I just felt the energy was so stuck, and I just didn't feel like it was ever meant for me. So I was very grateful to be able to travel. And then that's when I got my scholarship and I came to school in Utah, and I've been in Utah for 20 years. And I'm feeling the same thing. I'm feeling stuck.
Did you grow up spiritual or religious?
So I was baptized Catholic, but I am not religious. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be religious. I'm spiritual. I'm very, very spiritual. And I believe in energy. And I have tremendous amount of faith. But I don't need a book or someone in the sky to guide me. I don't know where I've received my moral compass, but somehow I have a really good moral compass. But I rely a lot on my own faith, have a lot of faith. And it's really, any book you read about manifestation or you know, Think and Grow Rich. It's really coming down to that belief, and you need to believe in yourself. Right. Most
for
important.
Sure. Right. Well, it's not a requirement to be religious on this podcast, but I'm always curious because people, they get into coaching like this. Sometimes there is a spiritual element. So I'm always very curious, you know, what people's early lives are like. Did you have a big family? Did you have brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I do actually. So I have an older brother and older sister, and then with the same mom and dad, and then my dad remarried and had three other kids. So then I have two younger brothers, a younger sister. My mom remarried, and I have four stepsisters, but I don't really have a relationship with them. So a big extended family, not really close with, I'm close with my sister, my brother, my biological ones that share the same mother and father, and kind of close with the others, but not as close as I'd like to be. And I'm very, very selective with my energy and maintaining my own peace, that I very much limit my time around family.
Yeah, same. I wanted, yeah. So you mentioned earlier in the interview that you went through a divorce, and it was sort of like a change of life for you. I'm also divorced.
Okay.
So I'm curious, what do you say to people that would say you may not be qualified to give relationship advice if you've been divorced? How has that helped you and even strengthened your ability to be able to be a coach?
You know, the only person that's ever said that to me is my ex-husband.
That's funny. Well, you know, it's a kind of a, I hear this from other people that are coaches, that, and I think it may be even an excuse on the customer, the client's side, to maybe get out of it or not want to do it or figure out a way to pick it apart. But did it strengthen you to be able to be a coach, to have to go through that?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't have the business that I have if I hadn't gone through that. And I would never claim to be an expert in anything, but I will say I've had a lot of experience with people and relationships, and I understand human behavior very well.
Yeah.
I understand it, and I understand people and how they think and how they behave. And especially doing the coaching, through the coaching, it's really opened my eyes to see the patterns in people. There's a lot of patterns, and it's very easy to pick up on patterns and to recognize that. And it's usually, you can understand, if you understand this one thing about this person, you can usually understand many other things about them as well.
Yeah.
It's actually really simple for me.
Do you have four children? Is that what I read?
I do, yes.
How do you juggle being a successful entrepreneur and having so many kids?
What's the secret? I don't know. I honestly don't know, because it's busy. But I've also created a business that works for me. Mm-hmm. I don't work my ass off. Hope I can cuss. I don't work all the time, right? I have really good boundaries, and I have really good priorities, non-negotiables, I call them, and I have really good self-care. I know when to relax, and that took me a long time to get to that point. But like the weekends, I shut off. I'm done. You know, like,
yeah.
It's just, you have to be able to have those boundaries, those healthy boundaries, because as I said, one of the benefits of coaching with me is you get me. And that's why they call, you know, being present, that it's the present, because I'm present with you. When I'm with my kids, I'm with my kids. I'm mom. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be one of those parents that's checked out on their phone. Like, it's right. Such a turn off to see so many people doing that all the time. It's really disheartening and very, very sad. But I'm there, right? I'm at the hockey game. I'm at the hockey game, right? When I'm, you know, if I'm at dinner, I'm at dinner. So it's really about being present and being conscious, coming back to being intentional. Right? How I spread my time. But I also, with that being said, I'm not like most people. I don't go out. I don't party. I don't socialize with a lot of people. I do live a very private life, but I'm also very much a hermit. I'm very comfortable being home.
I'm glad you mentioned self-care, because as we're getting close to the end of the interview here, I always like to ask people, you know, what is your daily self-care routine?
Yeah. So I have non-negotiables. And so I work with my clients and myself to have non-negotiables. And those are the things that you're going to do no matter what. No matter what the day gives you, you will make sure that you check that off. Mm-hmm. And so obviously one of mine is going to the gym, right?
Yeah.
It's important for me. And it's not so much about the physical, it's about my mental health. That's my therapy, is to go to the gym. And if I haven't gone for a few days, I know, okay, I need to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I need to sweat. So going to the gym is important. Drinking my water, I'm very particular about what kind of water I drink. Don't drink tap water.
No.
I try to drink my water. I have my, you know, if it's a good day and I have the time, I'll do my little morning ritual of having a cup of coffee, maybe doing some reflection, some journaling, checking in with myself, my thoughts, and then being able to unwind at dinner time. Like, I'm very much, I feel like a lot of people are, but just being a routine machine, a creature of habit, right? But mm-hmm. but the thing is, and this, I'll leave it with this, you got to make sure that you have good habits.
Yeah.
Right? And it all comes down to your habits. And I have good habits.
Do you meditate?
No.
No? It's not your thing? Yeah,
I've tried. It's just not my thing. I mean, I have tried. I don't like to label anything, okay? I wouldn't say that that's what I'm doing is meditating. To me, it's more of checking in with myself, checking in with the energies, checking in with spirit. Can I feel spirit? Can I feel the guidance that I need to receive?
Yeah.
So if you want to call it meditation, call it meditation. I don't believe in labeling anything.
I like that. How can people find you out there on the interwebs?
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram, Real with Rebecca. Facebook is Rebecca Shocker, and LinkedIn is Rebecca Shocker. And it's just my last name, and Shocker's SCH. So sometimes people misspell it.
And do you have a website?
I do. It's realwithrebecca.com.
Okay, great.
And
well, perfect.
Yeah, you can check me out there. I have a whole ebook on self-care. So
if you leave Utah, what's the next state you want to go to? Where are you thinking?
Well, I won't leave Utah because I'm not leaving my children. Mm-hmm. That's just not an option. But, you know, we're having this conversation in a very unique time for me, because in a month, my lease is up and I need to move out of my place. So this opportunity has presented itself that, honestly, I think I'm going to do some traveling overseas for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And come back and find a place here. I'm kind of like a paper bag in the wind, not really sure where I'm going to land, trusting, believing, having faith in myself that I'll figure it out. But
yeah.
I'm always up to an adventure and having an opportunity and just living with uncertainty, which most people cannot live with uncertainty.
Do you like living in nature, out of the way? Do you like big cities? What gravitates toward you?
The ocean. I gravitate towards the ocean. I very much want to be near the ocean. I don't really necessarily, I don't mind a big city, but it's not me. I think I like my peace. I like it quiet.
Yeah.
Prefer not to be around people. But with that being said, I think it's important to have those opportunities to be able to go and be around the busyness or the energy of it.
Right, for sure. Well, Rebecca, it's been great interviewing you today. I love what you had to say. A lot of good stuff. And I hope you come back.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And let's talk again soon, okay?
Sounds great.
Take care. Thank you.
Metacortex Publishing hopes that you've enjoyed this presentation.
Please take a moment to listen to some other podcast offerings from Metacortex Publishing.
The No Earthly Explanation podcast investigates the things that are unexplainable. Hosted by world-renowned investigative researcher Donald R. Schmidt and scientist Ellie Ringo. Follow them as they look for evidence for things that have no earthly explanation. Available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Cult Following is a podcast that studies the personalities and common traits of cult leaders and their followers. Get the real story behind these infamous and oftentimes tragic cults from a new perspective, through exhaustive research and from interviews with people that were there. Available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and Anthony Smith and is distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure to visit the official website for Metacortex Publishing at metacortexpublishing.com or find us on social media for other unique content.